Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach family. This is your host, Mama Seven, and it is Wednesday. It is a fabulous, miraculous, wonderful Wednesday. Half the reason why it's wonderful is just because you've made it to this point. You know, I give thanks, oh my goodness, I give thanks for the little things. I give thanks for, you know, how we're able to manifest in our day-to-day life. I give thanks for, you know, the wonderful blessings I have around me, called friends, called godchildren, called angels. I give thanks for so many of the wonderful things that God has blessed me with. So on Wednesdays, those are the days when I spend a little extra time going over my blessings. Wednesdays are the days where I spend or give a little extra time to my shrine work, to my studies, to any and everything I need to spend time on, any and everything that is spiritual. I have to begin to, you know, honor that which takes care of me. How about that? Honor that which I work towards, study, put energy into, all of that wonderful stuff. This is what I do. This is what I do, and I encourage everyone to do it. I know our ancestors, oh my goodness, our ancestors used to stop, drop, and do church all day. You know, we have some ancestors that did church all week. There wasn't a day for church. You know, every day was a church day, whether it was choir rehearsal, you know, no matter what we're doing, our ancestors did it. So for us to just take one day out of seven, that's nothing. That's nothing. Spend that time with your shrine, with your studies, with yourself. Spend that time in reflection. Spend that time growing, being the best you can be. Let's do that. You owe that to yourself. You know, this world can be, it can seem very demanding, right? Work demands, children demand. Don't have a hobby. Don't have a sport. Don't have anything that you want to do. So, you know, we're constantly doing all this work and ripping and running. When do we stop and make time for ourselves? You know, when do we stop and make time for those things that we say are important to us? So Wednesday is my day. And Wednesday, you know, I really, not only do I do the work on Wednesdays, I'm inspired and encouraged to work after my Wednesdays. I'm inspired and encouraged to work on my Sundays, my ancestor day. I'm inspired to work on my Mondays, my Legba day. You know, it's something about that Wednesday that sets the tone for all my other practices. You know, I don't know if it's because it's so intense. I don't know if it's because I've been only doing it for about a decade. I don't know what is creating it, the energy, but it's there. And I always love to share it. You know, this is a wonderful time to go ahead and get into your own stuff. What do you need to be working on and focusing? You know, the energy this morning, really for the past week, has been focused. Focus. I mean, if I want to yell it, scream it, focus, focus, and refocus. Now, when you have to refocus, that means you had focus, somehow you lost it, okay? Not so good, not so hot. So we have to really get back into ourselves. What do we need to do? What do we need to try to accomplish? And those are the things that we need to be spending our time and energy on, okay? Last week's show, very interesting show. And all the shows are spirit-led. I don't know how. I don't ask questions. Spirit's like, okay, this is what it is today. I was like, okay, all right, great. So I am very much a servant when it comes to working with God's people. You know, I'm just the head organizing, but I am a servant. Serving God's people. And so I never know how the topics come up. Last week's show was delayed is not denied. And that show was there because someone needed to hear that, including myself. So as I listen, you know, as I speak, as I listen, my ears are closer to my mouth, okay? I have to listen to what I'm actually saying. I have to listen to the information, the words, the science, everything, because I'm still learning. Trust me, you're not a good teacher if you're not learning, period. So we should all be actively teaching and learning, because there's something you can learn from everybody. A broke clock is right twice a day, okay? So everything has a value to it if you pay attention. Everything has something to tell you, to show you. So we should all be teaching and learning and teaching. That's how I work. That's my everything. So last week I was like, okay, where am I feeling this delay? And it's so obvious. It is more obvious than, you know, this big nose I have on my face. It's obvious. Where is the delay? And how am I feeling about it? Am I personalizing it? Am I like, oh, my God, this delay makes me feel like I've been denied. And I'm sure everyone has something in their life that feels like it's being held from them. So last week's show, we had to talk about that. We had to talk about how God's time is divine time, and we need to sit back and relax and be patient and be understanding. Everybody, if you didn't listen to the show, you didn't get a chance to yet, because a lot of people go back and listen to the show. If you didn't get a chance to listen to the show, I want to encourage you just to look up the word patient and see the real definition. Patient, you have to suffer and endure without complaint. And I was like, oh, I've been doing this all wrong. I've been complaining the whole way. Oh, this is wrong. It's unjust. Whatever I've been doing, it has not been patiently, you know? So I had to really go back and think about some things and start to see, okay, wait a minute. If this is for me, if I am supposed to be moving in this energy, do I need to sit back and wait? Do I need to let that go altogether? Do I need to try to start another search in another place? Whatever the thing is, you know, you've got frustrated, job's not doing right, ultra worried about COVID everywhere, blah, blah, blah. A delay is not a denial. Sometimes a delay is there to save your life. So it was a very interesting show. I encourage you to go back and listen. You can always go back and listen. You can go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page, and all the shows are listed there. Also, you can go to awonderfulapproach.com, and you can check that out as well. Lots of good information there. And, lots of good information. Please check it out. But today, this show surprised me, valuing our elders. And it didn't surprise me because we need to value our elders. That's something that I know, and we're working on and we're building. We're defining what elders are. What does that mean? Because, you know, I'm going to be 50 this year. I'm going to pop my collar and my gray hair and be like, yes, elder, thank you. You know, even though sometimes I don't feel like an elder, the knees be like, you an elder, baby, you an elder. And so, you know, as we go through defining the elders and understanding, I get it. I understand why this is an important topic. I was surprised as to where it came from. So I'm talking to one of my lovely goddaughters. I'm so blessed to have them. And as I was speaking, I said, okay, it's time. I want you to do this radio program with me, and I want you to speak about what you want to speak about. And I had five topics that I knew she was going to say, one of these five. That's why I kind of left it up to her. I was like, either one of them five I'm good with. This was not one of the five. And I was like, really? from the mouth of babes, we're going to talk about elders. Yeah, I guess it's time. It's time for us to review this again. It's time for us to really begin to understand and understand how blessed we are to have elders, how blessed we are to be able to sit with them. And then, of course, I would love to hear some of your elder stories. You know, this is how we communicated. We shared. We spoke. We shared stories about each other. We're a very oral tradition, and this is what we do. And when we speak about people, it keeps their memories alive. It keeps their energy alive. It strengthens them. When the goddaughter, the youngest, says, hey, I want to talk about elders, then that's what we do. That's what we do. So I got my pen and paper because I have no idea what's going to come, how this is going to work, but I am thankful to have the opportunity to do this. So we're going to see how Spirit was moving with this child and to grab her, bring her onto the radio program, and we are going to share and get into our elders because it is a blessing to be able to do so. Okay? Let's see. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Greetings.
Hey, honey. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good, good. I'm loving the topic.
Yeah. I love my elders, honestly. And it's weird because, I mean, you know, like I'm only 26, but most of my friends are like more than double my age. So,
mm-hmm.
But I just love communicating with them all the time and just have so much information.
Mm-hmm. And you see the value of information. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's very important. You know, we talk to our elders while they're still here, while we still have the chance to.
Absolutely. Now, tell me about why you're so into the elders. What is that thing that draws you to them?
Honestly, just the information. We're all really just trying to, you know, figure this whole thing out called life. And because, you know, they've experienced a thing or two, it's good to hear their point of view on certain things and how they go mm-hmm. about, you know, day-to-day situations. And even though, you know, times have definitely changed from how they grew up compared to us,
right.
I think they still can have, you know, very valuable information, whether it's just, you know, them talking for hours and you just take 2 minutes of what they said or the whole thing. Something is going to, you know, have value in what they say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I definitely, someone who grew up, you know, I am actually a little Khadija, okay? So I was absolutely everywhere. I was allowed to, as long as I was quiet, I could sit in the kitchen with the rest of the elders. You know, I could sit in there with the elders, and I'm just a little squirt, you know. I knew how to, you know, be patient, be good, be quiet in those settings, so that I could be allowed to do more things and everything else like that, you know. And I was always, I was the goody goody who always got the cookie, and like, you know, go sit down now. Here's your cookie. Go sit down. You know, I loved that. I was able to be close to the elders because the elders don't let everyone sit close to them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was lucky to be that little one, too, to kind of get the cookie and just, like, you know, go sit down somewhere. But I sit just close enough to listen, but, you know, not
yes.
to notice what I'm
just close enough to listen. Yeah, and you can't look like you're listening, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You can't look like it, but... You know, getting all that information, all that love, being able to share space and place, and it's just a wonderful experience that not many people know of and not many people value anymore. And that's why when I was trying to label the show, I was like, okay, what are we doing? Are we talking about learning from the elders? It's like, yeah, kind of. Are we talking about loving the elders? Yeah, of course, yeah, kind of. You know, and it was like, no, how do we put a value on them? How do we really get people to see that there's so much here and it's worth a little patience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely patience. Like even though, you know, I had no problem thinking of the topic, I had to think about what exactly did I want to talk about dealing with the elders. And I thought it would be a good idea to just kind of, you know, give like a little bit of information on ways you could spark up a conversation or, you know, things to think about while you're communicating with them because of whether it be an age gap or generation gap and how different things are, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear some of that. In fact, give me two tips on working. I'll see if you're correct and everything, but give me two tips. How do we work on our communication style with elders?
So, well, my first one, because I think I've got like five.
Mm-hmm.
My first one is try to spend more time with them. Try to make more time with them. You know, communicating with them while you can. I think it's a huge advantage when it comes to connecting with them, especially on a spiritual realm. It's easier to find and, you know, build a connection with them because it's an energy that you're familiar with. So just finding the time to communicate with them, because I realize that, you know, with a lot of elders, they're like, oh, well, you don't come visit me. It's just a phone call away. So as long as you just try to find, you know, 10 to 15 minutes off a day, I think that, you know, that's a good place to start.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Also, listening to what the elders have to say. You know, a lot of times speaking to them, you know, you kind of want to, you know, ask a question or, you know, like kind of push a little two cents in and here and there. But just listening to them and paying attention and try not to interrupt, even though, you know, you got to realize you're dealing with elders. So there may be like a long pause. So, you know, paying close to bay is very important.
Absolutely.
Whenever I talk, I have pen and paper, you know, just to kind of help me keep track of everything that we're talking about, but it also shows them that you actually have an interest in the conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we're talking about an elder older than me, texting may not be the best. You know what I'm saying? Texting, you know, my mother knows how to work all the texting and stuff like that, but she has grandkids. She works at it. But, you know, understand some of this technology, some of this Facebook. Like, oh, I put it on Facebook. Well, they may not go on Facebook, and they may not go on with any kind of regularity. You know, most people I know are on Facebook two or three times a day. These, you know, elders, that's not what they're doing, you know. So we have to be aware when you're trying to reach out, reach out.
Right.
Something else I want to say about elders, and they are our libraries. They have all the information and everything like that. But we have to be willing to invest. It's not all about, well, give me this and give me this and give me. We have to really be able and willing and want to invest in them. You know, I got an opportunity to meet the man who had the Tree of Life bookstore in Harlem. And, you know, yes, he knew Malcolm personally. Okay, Malcolm X. And so me and, of course, I try to get my boys to shake everybody's hand. And I tell them, I said, you know, you shook his hand? And they'd be like, okay, Mom. But so we're up here, and he had a cat that he wasn't taking care of well, all these books and everything. So, you know, we would come, when we were in Atlanta, we would come and change the kitty litter and take out the trash. And then we would talk, and he would give books, and he would share. This person said this person said that. But, you know, we were doing something that took me and my boys all of 10 minutes. And sometimes that's all we did. Hey, how you doing? We're here. You know, we're just going to take out the trash for you. And there, sometimes that's all we did. But other times when we sat down and had time, oh, he gave us so much information. And there were other people that were quick to try to speak with him and shove a microphone in his mouth and try to get him to say this and say that. But it was very obvious they were only after information and not about nurturing a relationship, you know. And so we have to really, when it comes to our elders, to me, that's just basic politeness, you know, where we can say, okay, I value you enough to take my time and not be rushed around you and not do this. We have to be able to do that kind of stuff because, again, our elders are precious.
Right. I really agree to that. Especially since, I just recently moved back into my family home. So, you know, I have the opportunity to, you know, talk with my grandfather every day. And he loves to fish. You know, he likes to, you know, plant things. He likes to fish. So I haven't been mm-hmm. fishing, like I was, like, single digits. So to have the opportunity to go out there and, you know, and fish with him and build that connection, it really made our connection stronger because, you know, I was doing activities that, you know, he likes to do, even though, you know, I'm vegetarian. But it was still fun to, you know, go back to the, you know, the old times and be able to fish with him. And he'd tell me all these little tricks and stuff and little stuff that he does. So,
and not like you'll ever go use that information, but right. it's still good to have the time to be able to spend the time to be able to go back and reflect. And, you know, it's really all about the experience. But, Habiba, I have a caller that would like to share, and that's what we're doing tonight. If you'd like to share with us, share your story of elders or your experience with them, please do. All you have to do is press 1. That lets us know that you'd like to speak, and then we'll go ahead and work from there. So I want to grab this caller real quick, so hold on for a moment, okay?
Okay.
Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Oh, good evening, Ms. Melissa. How are you doing?
Sister Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. I hear you on. I hear you talking about the elders, and I think this is an awesome, awesome, awesome topic.
There's
so many ways you can go with this.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
I'm loving
and look, we're ready.
Yeah, and I'm loving hearing this young lady talk about her experiences and that she actually seeks it out, because I know my young lady. My young person, myself, when I was a young person, I mean, my friends were 90 and 80. And as I'm listening to you guys talk, you know, you're making me think about some things that I've done. And I just recently came back from Boston, which is my hometown, to say goodbye to a chapter in our lives as my family starts moving here. And we had a wonderful party. And I meant to hang out with this family member, and I meant to hang out with that family member, but I found myself with Uncle Jimmy and his wife, Aunt Joyce.
Okay.
And Uncle Jimmy is my father's oldest brother, and they have the same father, and he is one of six, or the oldest of six. And I don't know his actual full age, but my father's 76, so he's got to be 80-something. And if Aunt Joyce, if I heard her correctly, she's at minimum 80. And she's still this firecracker. She's Jamaican. She's this little firecracker. And every time we have this family together, they always find me or I find them. And so I appreciate that love for me is there, because I can see it in them. And they shared with me some stories that I was like in awe about, and it was about my heritage. It was about how they met. Just things that you don't get to hear, and that's what elders bring to you. They let you.
Yes.
They bring to you things that you don't know anything about. Now I know we all think we know this, and we think we know that, and we know, and I know, and he won't, and she didn't. You all know nothing. And
okay.
The elders have no problem communicating that with you. You just got to let them take their time, because now, you know, you see, I can talk. My brother can talk. And he was interested in it, too. And he kept on talking, and Uncle Jimmy said, stop cutting me off now. I'm trying to get this out. And we busted out laughing. And that's another thing I love about my elders. The ones who can hold on to their personality and they still show that spitfire. They still show
yes.
what you remember when you were young. And that wit.
Yes.
And the knowledge.
Yes.
And
yes,
I just think it's
absolutely
just wonderful. And then you know the moon, you know the chrome stage is the, well,
uh-huh.
I'm not gonna say the best stage, but it's the longest
right.
stage. It's the longest stage, and it just definitely makes life better stage. And
mm-hmm.
and like you, Mama Seven, I'm going to be 50
yes,
this year.
Well. Yes, ma'am.
And you know
I'm
going to break the microphone as a sister. So I've been embracing my phoneism since 35. So
I sure have.
Yeah. I just want you to know
I
the
sure
smile
have.
You put on my face. You put a smile on my face with this topic. It's awesome.
Amen.
And I'm glad to
Amen.
Hear that.
Amen. Amen. And it came from a young one. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me smile and gives me hope that, you know, they're not going to just let all these libraries close without getting the information. They really want to give us information. They want to give us information. So, absolutely. Thank you, Sister Melissa. I'm glad your trip was good there and back. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Awesome. Yeah, let me tell you, I love, love, love the elders. And it's because they've shown me love. And that doesn't mean I have not had my little bottom padded, swatted. That doesn't mean that I haven't had to sit in the corner with my nose pressed up against the wall. It doesn't mean those things. It means all those things, you know, but it really means that I felt invested in, I felt watched over, I felt loved and guided, I felt all of those things. And this is how I can turn around and say, okay, I value you for you. You've gone through some things. You've seen some things. So absolutely. So give me one more tip. Give me one more tip when we're working with elders, you know, someone who may be your age or younger. Some, you know, what other type of words of advice would you give?
I would say definitely for, like, younger generations, I would say, you know, like being kind and having a positive attitude and accept the differences. And I'm really big on agreeing to not, you know, agreeing to disagree and accepting differences when it comes to talking to elders. But, you know, sometimes it can be hard talking to them, honestly, especially with like the generation gap and how society tends to play a big role in that. Some elders have the, you know, traditional quote, or, you know, like back in my days mindset. So,
yeah.
Which in some cases is expected, and you have to be understanding about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember that mm-hmm. times, in fact, have changed. So the way
right.
we 30 years ago, it's not the same now. And it's actually the same for elders, too. You know, that goes both ways because
mm-hmm.
the ways that
mm-hmm.
we talk, they don't talk that way. So sometimes,
yeah.
like, you know, especially talking to my granddaddy, I'll teach him, you know, kind of the new lingo here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit cringy at times, but it is fun to kind of, you know, hear him try to relate to
mm-hmm.
me and, you know, talk like, you know, how we're talking and everything. But I would say
mm-hmm.
we really just, you know, accept the differences and continue to have a positive attitude and be kind when you're speaking to them.
Absolutely. One thing that I have to work on, and this is me, I still have to work on stuff. One of the things I have to work on is I am 100% on the warrior woman side, 100%. I don't care. I'm cut you. If it's me or you, it's going to be you because I don't play that. You know what I'm saying? This is just how I am. But back in those days, that's not how women were.
Right.
You know, you may run across a firecracker here or there, but really the women did a lot of what I would call catering to men. The women did a lot of domestic work as far as, like, employment. And so I have to understand that for them, that was a way of life. You know what I'm saying? You ironing was a way of life. So when they see me, they're like, gal, number one, you call me gal. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, did you just call me gal? Boy, I have a long name. All of my names are long. And you called me gal? What? So, gal, you got some wrinkles up on you. And I'm like, yes, I do, okay? And I'm not going to take this skirt off for you to iron it. You're not going to sit here and suck your teeth on all that. I'm like, look, I'm not a gal, and I do wear wrinkles. And I'm wearing pants. You know, they're like, oh, you know. So these are just like small differences. And we'll sit there and look at each other and laugh because it'd be like, girl, you know, what are you doing? Why are you wearing pants? You know, and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you wearing pantyhose in 90-degree weather? You know what I'm saying? You're wearing pantyhose and church shoes, and we ain't going nowhere. What are you doing, okay? So, it's funny. It's hilarious.
I can definitely relate to that, especially with my grandmother. I used to love her freak out when I had, like, little, like, you know, like how shirts are nowadays. Like, they look wrinkled, but they're supposed to look that way.
Yeah.
She hates it. Oh, she hated it so much. Oh, she hated it.
Yeah.
Like all the loose that I wear, she's like, I need you to put an iron to them pants. And I'm like, I can't. That's the style. I'm not
right, right. No, my grandmother was a paraplegic. She was in a wheelchair. She had my mother in a wheelchair. So she was always in a wheelchair. And every day she wore a girdle, a slip, pantyhose, and shoes. And I, as a little girl, I'd be like, Granny, why are you wearing those shoes and you don't walk? And she's like, don't you wear shoes on your feet? And I'm like, yes, Granny, but I'm going to walk on my feet. You're not walking on your feet. Why are you wearing them shoes? Don't you want to have your toes out? And she's like, no, ladies wear pantyhose and ladies wear shoes. And I would look at her like, what? Even when it doesn't serve a purpose? Even when it's uncomfortable, and you can't imagine how difficult it is when you can't move your legs to put on pantyhose and shoes. And she did because she was a lady, okay? And so when you're around elders and you see, I have elders, she wear her wig straight every day, and she put on her lipstick the lipstick is not straight nowhere. The wig is crooked, but she don't see it. And then I was in here like, why are you doing all that? Don't you just want to be free? You know, I can't wait to get that old so I can be free. And they're like, no, I'm a lady, and ladies have their lipstick on before they take company. And I'm like, take company? What you doing? What are you talking about? You know, so that's just part of who they are. And I love it because there's such a grace in that. You know what I'm saying? It's such a love in the middle of that. And so whenever you get a chance to be with the elders, I wouldn't be as blunt as I was at that young age, but I would spend some time being like, you know, what type of work did you do? You know, and they'll tell you, oh, I would take a bus, or I would walk 5 miles to go clean this or go do that. And, you know, you'd be surprised at the sacrifices that they made for their family and how serious they took their jobs. You know, if I had a maid, I would love her, okay? I would be like, please come in. Please come help me. But I've seen people treat these people lowly, and I'm like, how? For the majority of us, that was our mothers. Those were our grandmothers. That was the type of work that they did. So why would you go and treat that profession lowly now, you know? There was an art to making the table and making, putting out silverware. It was an art. And when I deal with ancestors, I have to make sure to have my doilies. I said the word, Sister Unique, I said doilies. You got to have your doilies out. You got to have the saucer underneath the coffee cup. Don't bring no straight coffee cup over here, you know. So working and being around the elves always tickles me, always tickles me. But, my dear, we have a caller that would like to speak. So I want to grab the caller real quick, and then we're going to get back to these tips because we want some people to go have fun and experience an elder. You know, they are comical. They are very, you know, you will have a good time. It ain't what you're thinking. But let's see what the caller is going to say. Let's see. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Greetings.
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Look, the other baby. Hey, baby, Zakiya, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Awesome. Okay. Now, look, I know you have a rich group of elders with you. Tell me about the elders.
Mm-hmm. So I love all my elders. That goes from my godmom to my two grandmas, and when my great-great-grandma was here, and the current great-grandma that I do have here, to my granddaddy, and the rest of the elders that, you know, reside in the Wonderful Approach as well that I love. I can say it's overwhelming. It's like an overwhelming amount of blessing, more as if.
Yes, it is.
To be able to have these elders inside my life and for them to stay for so long and be able to watch me grow, and I can easily go to them whenever I need, and how much effort that I put in, more as if, to try and keep that strong relationship, whether we're in contact or not, it's always like a strong spiritual connection, if anything. And I always respect that fact. That's why I always say number one tip is try to be as honest as possible because, you know, they've either already been through it or have some waypoint that can help you through whatever you're going through. And there's nothing more settling than someone who's been on Earth for years telling you that it's going to be okay because they've already been here for such a long time.
Amen.
So it's little things like that. And I always, like how you said, you're a servant to spirits and what they tell you. I feel like that I am a servant to my elders because of all the blessings that they have given me. So, for instance, my grandmother, she's dealing with Parkinson's. And I know when I was little, she had to do every little thing for me. So now that I'm older, I try to do every little thing for her and cater to her as much as I can for anybody that I'm close by. For my godmom, Unique, whenever I'm with her, I try my best to prepare meals and clean and educate anything that's inside my area as she educates me and things that are going on within hers. And it's just always so overwhelming in a joyful manner. I always feel so happy, and you guys are like the main ones that look out for me and the main people that I trust. So it's always a blessing to just feel like I'm reliving a moment every single time I step in the vicinity of you guys' presence.
Awesome. Oh, my goodness. From the mouth of babes. So, so awesome. And guess what? Elders love babies. Just like you.
Yeah.
Elders love, they love spending the time. And, you know, trust me, the second that you have a baby, watch your mom. Watch your mom. Your mom's going to be like, baby. And it's like, hello, I'm right here. No, not you anymore. Baby. And, I mean, there's such a bond there between granddaughter and grandmother. That when I saw it with Talib and my mom, I just stepped back because I know that relationship that they have is going to carry him through some things that I may not be able to carry him through. So, you know, grandbabies and grandmothers, I tell people, move out the way. Move out the way. Let her get her grandchild, because that's what they want. That's what they're going to do. So, and I know from your godmother how much of a blessing that you are. So thank you so much for calling in. And
no
problem. Keep that attitude. Keep the attitude.
Yes.
Keep all of that, because it really is a blessing.
Thank you.
You
I
are
love
more
you
than
guys.
Welcome, honey. Love you too. Yay. Look, our babies. Look, from the baby to the other baby. But, oh my goodness. Three generations, I think she said. Three generations?
Mm-hmm.
That's a blessing. It really, really is. And really, the elder smile when you want to sit and talk to them. And you don't have to be doing a whole lot. Watching soap operas. Now, I don't watch a soap. I am like sitting here like, what? Who cares? You know, I don't watch TV. I've never really been a big TV person. But those elders, those all the days of their lives, they believe in that. You know what I'm saying? Just sitting there doing that means something to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say spend as much time as possible. And it doesn't have to be, you know, doing something. You know, this world right now has us thinking that we constantly have to be going someplace or doing something. You can just be sitting there. You can just be sitting there. Would you like to, before I share my story, would you like to share a story about one of your elders? Living or ancestor, whichever you want.
Wait a minute. So I had a book elder, but so you know, I mentioned talking to my my grandfather. I talk to him a lot, you know, more nowadays, and having conversations with him teaches me a lot about myself. I learned that his mother used to grow a lot of herbs. She had all types of plants surrounding her house, like for protection and stuff. And all the time I used to wonder where, you know, like my fascination with herbs and plants came from. But, you know, talking to him about his mom and all the herbs that she planted and things that she did with herbs, like I'm pretty certain that it came from her. And you know, like since I have my shed now, he comes out and he teaches a lot about, you know, like building certain things in the shed and like insulating. And so I'm asking him, like, where do I get all this, you know, like these ideas of like, you know, DIY and building this and wood that. And he was telling me how like almost everybody in the family either was a farmer or a carpenter somehow. Like they were always building houses. He used to build houses. And just like dealing with herbs and houses and stuff. So like just, you know, little conversations like that here and there, it helped
mm-hmm.
me learn a lot about myself.
Mm-hmm. And that's not stuff you can get from Ancestry ND, okay? We need the real story from the people that lived it. You know, we need to, you know, stop spending money when you can be spending time with elders, you know what I'm saying? Because the story is just as important as where you're getting it from and everything else like that. So there's a story and how you came about the story, you know? I know, and I don't know why my grandmother is so strong with me tonight, but she was a seamstress, but she didn't really sew clothes. She sewed like tablecloths and placemats. I don't sew anything, but I hand stitch and I put things together, flags together. Everything that I stitch is for this shrine or the next. And I mean, it's like fabric is spiritual for me, you know. And she didn't sew clothes, but she made wedding dresses. And I remember, so she was like, okay, so I would have to put the dress on and then stand in a chair so that she could get the hem, because, of course, she, you know, being handicapped, can't reach down to the ground, can't reach the floor. So I had to put on the dress and stand in the chair or stand on the table so she can get the hem. And it would have 1,001 pins, and she's like, move carefully. But, you know, I mean, pearls everywhere, ribbons, the little mirrors. I mean, as intricate as it can be. And I'm like, but you don't sew pants. You know, nope, nope. She, you know, she didn't like pants and didn't like clothes or anything like that. But curtains, 1,000 curtains, and even now I will sew a curtain. I can't, no clothes, no straight lines. I can't do straight lines. But I love making things for spirit, making things for my shrines and everything else like that. And they can be very intricate. I'm okay with that. But that's something I get from her, and that's something that I got to see and witness. That's something also that I share with my children, you know. And so now that they're getting older, especially like Solomon, now he's developing more of his own personality. I see that creative side in him. Okay, I got to get this picture looking like this to do this and backdrops. And I'm like, oh, my God, all this creativity. But, you know, that's something that he learned from elders, learned from his grandmother, learned from people around him, and he just grabbed it and took it to a whole nother level. So valuing your ancestors and valuing your elders can really teach you a lot about your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Look, I think you have one more tip. Do you have another tip you'd like to share about how to work with elders? Please share.
Well, I did want to mention, you know, discussing, you know, family heritage and special traditions.
Mm-hmm.
I like to speak with my elders about family traditions and, you know, things the family's known for. And honestly, talking to elders, I've never met an elder that, you know, like they didn't want to talk about their family. You know, some elders' family is all that they have. So,
right.
You know,
sometimes
family
traditions, memory of family. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, like up family traditions, I think is probably the most important thing to talk about. Because, I mean, you can get so much information from it. It's very beneficial. Especially, it's really beneficial from when you're, you know, dealing with your ancestors, you know, learning
Absolutely.
Different traditions and, you know, about your heritage and then using those things to honor your ancestors, learning about your family history. You know, it can sometimes bring family together.
Yes.
You'll have family, like you'll have like stories to pass down to like future generations. And you'll start to see certain patterns in careers and like health issues and like, you know, different achievements and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
That also kind of led me to wanting to talk about like medical history and learning about your medical history and how important that one's kind of close to the heart for me, because learning about different medical histories, you could end generational patterns.
Yes.
You know, dealing with like diabetes and high blood pressure, heart disease, like cancer, obesity, just having a conversation about those kind of touchy subjects. It may be hard, but you could seriously be the stop of that, you know, that generational pattern of like, oh, well, you know, your grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, all of them had diabetes. And, you know, learning about what certain health issues that the family did have, you can then do research of, you know, how to stop that. And so, you know, you're not just continuing to with those habits.
Yeah, yeah, and that's very real. So not just when it comes to the medical, anything that may be negative or less than, we want to work on getting that out of our family line. We really do. If there's been a history of even poverty is a history. Even poverty is something you can pass down to your children. Lack of education, you can pass down to your children. There's so many things that you can look back on your family history and be like, well, this is why it's like that. And I'm like, okay, We can see why it's like that. But can I also say maybe that's not the best? You know, maybe it's not the right. best. I remember I met a mother and daughter pair, and the mother never had her child. And the child was about five. The grandmother had that child like that was her child. And I was like, why are you cuffing this woman's baby like this? You know, you all up on a baby. And she was like, oh, no, that's how it is. I was like, I don't understand. What do you mean that's how it is? Because I'm holding mine tight. But
right.
she was like, no. She said, I didn't really raise my daughter. My mother did. So now I'm raising her daughter. And she'll turn around and raise her daughter's daughter. And I'm sitting here like, ugh. You know, and I was like, well, you know, because mama was out in the streets. You know, mom was in the world. And
right.
Someone had to be responsible, and it was always the grandmother. And so the older mother, had already accepted that when this baby comes, that's my job because my mama did it for me. And so I thought that was the craziest thing in the world because my mama held us close. You know, I can literally count how many times that I was not directly in my mother's care. So
right.
the idea of someone else raising my child, I was like, what? But this is how they worked. This is what they did. And everyone played their part. So it was an interesting dynamic. So when you value your elders, when you see them do their job, sometimes it's like, I know what I have to do now. You know what I'm saying? I know what I have to do when I get to this age. You know, I'm not worried about my children not being there in a parental way because they have seen all their life for generations and generations a very close bond between parent and child. So I wouldn't even blink. I know for a fact that's what's going to happen because that's what they were taught, you know?
Right.
Our elders are constantly teaching us whether they realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure that we're picking up the good things, but we also have to be aware, you know, what worked for them back in those days may not work now. So we also have to kind of keep our eyes open for evolution. We're supposed to be evolving. We're not supposed to be reliving their life, you know?
Right.
I got a caller that would like to speak. So hold on just a second, and we're going to see if we can get the caller in.
Oh.
We had lots of callers this show. It's awesome. Love it. But when you're talking about elders, I'm not at all surprised, you know. Everybody loves the elders. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Greetings.
Greetings. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Is this Courtney?
This is Maria, Habiba's mom. We all sound the same.
The twin? The twin. Yay. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Good, good. What is it like hearing your baby on the air talking about elders? And how is that?
It's amazing.
It is
a blessing. It is truly a blessing because although I did get to spend a lot of time with my grandparents and I'm getting to spend like a great deal of time with my father right now, I never had the kind of conversations with them that she is having with them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing, but I'm also a little jealous because I'm like, dang, I never really got to do
yeah.
that. And
yep.
and he loves it so much. My father loves it so much. He talks about how she will come and sit with him and talk for hours and hours and how he wished the other grandkids would do it.
Yeah, how awesome. How awesome. And, you know, so they have to see the value in it. And when they see her doing it, they're going to turn around and say, hey, this might be cool. You know what I'm saying? Let's try
yeah.
this out. So, you know, absolutely, absolutely. So, since you're calling in to our, and I think you're a first-time caller, hey.
I am.
Love our
yes,
first-time
I am.
Callers. Tell us the story. Tell us a good elder story that you have, that you remember, you know, growing up, even if the elder has, you know, transitioned. Share with us what it was like to sit with that elder.
Wow. There are a great deal. I would have to say mostly with my mom. Like I'm the mm-hmm. cook of the family. Every time she was in the kitchen, I was in the kitchen. Teach me how to scale and gut a fish. Teach me every uh-huh. single thing I know how to cook. She taught me just watching and talking with her. Shared measuring and not measuring, just pinch of this, a scoop
That's
of that.
That's right.
but every single thing that I learned how to cook, I got from my mom, and it was just even with the fish, with the scaling and mm-hmm. the cutting open, and all of it was great. It was amazing to spend that time with her, and up until yes. she got sick, she would sit in the kitchen while I was doing the cooking. And sometimes I felt like, Mom, you don't have to watch me. I learned how to cook for you. I know what I'm doing. She's like, I'm not watching you. I just want to be here. I just want to be in the
uh-huh.
kitchen. So
uh-huh.
that it was just a great experience.
Awesome. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing. Thanks for sharing your baby with us, as he is really
no problem.
Helping others really start to say, hey, wait a minute. I have an elder right here that I'm not really, I could engage. I could take their trash out. I could do this. So let's go ahead and do that. So sometimes, though, it takes a little nudge. We need to get that information. So I appreciate
right.
you sharing.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I thank you for everything you've done for her. Thank you so much.
Amen. How awesome. Look, I love it. You know, there was the movie was Soul Food. And the movie was a family, the matriarch. We spent a lot of time in the kitchen. And there was, I think the grandmother transitioned or something. But really, until I saw that movie, I didn't realize how much, especially the African-American experience, is in this kitchen. The kitchen is a very spiritual place because there's so many memories that are going on at that location. We can't even put we can't even catch it all. You know, there's so much going on in the kitchen. And I tell people, you know, for those people that have shrines and stuff, I have shrines all over the house. I think the only place I don't have a shrine is my bathroom, okay? Shrines are to be where we are, where we live. And a lot of us live in those kitchens. I know my mother, she has a little eat-in kitchen. And so I would say she probably spends 60 to 70% of her day in this kitchen, cooking, cleaning, making tea, sitting at the table, being on the computer, whatever. Now, she has a huge house, multiple rooms, formal dining room, formal living room, regular living room. I'm like, well, what's the difference? Anyway, she has all this space, but she stays in that kitchen. And I'm like, you in there because of energy. You in there enjoying energy. And it's true. It's true. I know I did Thanksgiving this year at my house, and I haven't done Thanksgiving at my house. The last time I did, Solomon was 2. Talib wasn't even a twinkle yet. That was the last time. So
wow.
I was in there all day and night, for days and nights, and it was so much fun. And it was work, and I'm turning this turkey. That was the best tasting turkey ever in life. So, I mean, it was so much fun to kind of step out of my normal shoes and to spend that time giving to my family like that. You know, when I do retreats, I do all the cooking, and, I love to serve, and the coffee, and the this, and the that. And I enjoy it because I step out of the business side of me. I step out of the workaholic, and I apply myself in a gentler kind. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Right.
And that's just the energy, you know? So.
And it's like you love it. I feel like you put all your feet, all your toes, your hands, everything in that retreat. I taste love.
It does. And I do love it. And I love the presentation of it. And all, you know, it's just the whole thing is miraculous. I love every piece of it. And you can tell when someone loves it. You can tell when someone is serving you from a place of love. Our right. elders, that cookie, man, I mean, you see they're turning it, they're spinning it, they're getting a little drops together, and I'm like, can I lick the bowl? No. Can I, the little blender whisk thing, can I lick? No, you have to wait. So I'm sitting there like, Lord, this is the longest 25 minutes in life, but I'm sitting there and I'm waiting and waiting. And that first cookie was like, it was heaven. It was and I got cookies and other people didn't even know it was in the oven. I'm like, I got a cookie. You know, it was just, it was my little thing where I knew that I was getting a little extra piece of love before everybody else had to get some. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, see,
that's
my trick.
Valuing our elders.
My trick about the whisk and the cookie bowl and like the cake bowl, you have to wash the dishes and then they'll give it to you.
Oh, okay. Look, tip number, I don't know what number we're on, but offer to wash the dish and then you can go ahead and swirl your finger around a couple times, okay?
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Do you have another tip?
I do actually. I think one that would be pretty beneficial is, or that could, you know, spark conversation is asking what their favorite things are.
Just
like shows and foods and hobbies, a favorite song, you know, everybody has like a favorite song or a favorite dish or something like that. You know, and try looking it up for them. Like if, you know, like, talking to your elders and they say like, oh, I remember this song back in so-and-so, try looking it up and let them listen to it, you know, probably dance with them or something. If they have like a favorite food, you know, try to find it or, you know, look up where they sell it or, you know, try to look up a recipe and maybe, you know, like y'all could cook it together or something like that. But, you know, knowing these things play a big role in, you know, honoring them, especially in the spiritual realm.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just know about them and, you know, it could help with your relationship with them as well. So I think it's really important to find out things that they actually like to do or, you know, their favorite something.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to give a tip. Family, please do not go empty-handed. Okay? I'm just saying, don't go empty-handed. If all you're doing is bringing some flowers, you know, if you bring in some pop, you know, whatever you're doing, don't come empty-handed. You know what I'm saying? Take a second and bring something. I mean, it could be the smallest of something, but it means something to them. You know what I'm saying? A little plant, a little anything. Don't come empty-handed, you know. Bring a little something. I mean, when you see them light up, you know, oh, I got you something. I mean, they sit back and act like you just did a whole marathon for them. You're like, no, really, you know, just some flowers on the way. But, you know, it means something. And that's what this whole show is about, really getting people to understand this relationship with our elders, it means something. It means something.
Right.
So don't let it disappear. Don't, you know, be loose with it. Don't understand it. It really does have a value.
It does.
Yeah. All right. Any last minute, what I'd like to do is give you an opportunity to shout out a couple of your elders. If you would like to name a couple of them, because I know we were talking and you were talking about quite a few elders that you have that really have meant a lot to you. So, if you'd like to shout out some names, that's all good.
So So, of course, my grandfather, can I shout out ancestors too?
Yeah.
Okay. My grandfather, my grandmother, my grandfather, Walter James, my grandmother, Walter James, my great-grandmother, Grandma Mary, my great-grandmother, Grandma Maple, my grand-aunt, there's a lot of them, uncles, my Uncle Demo, my Uncle Richard, my Uncle Tony, it's like all coming in my head at once. all my ancestors, you know, known and unknown, all my elders I haven't spoken to in a while, my other great grandmother, Willie Habersham, all of my that I hope to know, you know, before they transition.
Yep. All of that is good, and, you know, we have to make sure that we are giving them their dues. You know what I'm saying? We have to make sure that we're allowing our elders to know, hey, I'm right here, and I appreciate you, even if we can't see them often. You know what I'm saying?
And you know
even
what?
If they are – say it again?
I told you that. I'm so sorry. How could I forget? All of the elders in a wonderful approach. All of them.
Yes.
I honestly, I just had to fit that in. I really wouldn't be the growing woman that I am today if it wasn't for y'all.
Amen.
Make Sister Nikita, Sister Nikki, Nisi, you, of course. All of them, Sister Faith. Princess.
Yeah.
All of them, Melissa. Yeah, sorry.
All of them. Awesome. You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know, because Zakiya had mentioned it too. We are elders, you know, we getting up there. And the thing about being an elder or even a pre-elder, but the thing about it is a pre-elder, okay, is the responsibility that you feel, or that I hope you feel, that we have for you. You know what I'm saying? We are always like, look, all the baby elephants in the middle, you know, you all are protected by us. We're here. And so that's
right.
The whole, if you've ever seen a herd of elephants, the babies are protected in the middle. You won't get to them. Guarantee you won't get to them, because the mothers and the grandmothers and the ancestral mothers are protecting that outer, you won't get to the baby, you know. And so we do so much work for all of you, your mental, your physical, your emotional. We understand being young ain't easy. No one takes that for granted. Being young is not easy. And so, you know, we do as much as we can to make sure that you all are well. So, you know, I'm sure all the wonderful approach elders, because we have quite a few, are like, yeah, we do that work because we care about you. And we know that you're going to turn around. You know, it's hard to imagine another 30, 40, 50 years, but we know that you're going to turn around and do the same thing. So we're just
right.
Paying it forward, you know. So awesome, awesome. I know the elders. I have to shout out my mother, who is definitely an elder. My mother worked hard to parent us. She worked hard at mothering. Mothering was so important to her. That's why it's so important to me. But I knew from day zero that I was the most important thing in her world. And every move she made showed that. So I always have to shout out her and all that she did and still does to make sure that me and my sisters are well taken care of. My Aunt Sandy, oh my goodness, who is a recent ancestor, 2 or 3 years, but the work that she did for not just me, but for my children, unmatched, unmatched. My grandmother, of course, my great aunt, Mommy Neal, my grandmother, who she didn't get a chance to see me in the living, but she stays very close to me, my grandma Ernestine on my father's side. And then my spiritual godmothers, Mother Taylor out of Shango Baptist up in D.C., still with us at, I think, 93 years old, Ia Monife of Ocean Gold. Oh, let me tell you, 93 years old, she wear more gold than a little bit. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, Oshun, okay, we see you, okay. She is so serious about her love for Orisha. And 93, kicking strong. She went back to school and got her degree at 80. I think she was like 84. She decided she wanted to go back to school. And I was like, yeah, for what? She said, because I want to. I said, never mind, all right. All the other, you know, with her feisty self, Gramambo, I have to shout Gramambo Fatima. I've had some people pour into me. I've had some people say, you are worth me giving you this information because I know you're going to take this and you're going to build and you're going to grow. I want to shout out also Ia Alajoye with her feisty mouth. Lord Jesus, help us all. But, you know, Yasin up in Atlanta, you know, there's so many women that have sat me down and say, let me tell you something. And I'm like, Lord, here it comes. So, you know, if I could give one last tip to people trying to get in contact with elders, when they say that, and they will, sit down and let me tell you something. I would just suggest that you sit, okay? It doesn't really matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they say you did or you didn't do, blah, blah. I would just suggest that you sit. Mm-hmm. Even when you're getting your little self chewed on or you're getting your little booty popped or whatever, I promise you they always follow it up with, you're going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Just like the key wisdom of Zakiya said it. I swear it echoed in my ear. I said, oh, I've heard this before. You know, so I'll sit there and, oh, you can't and you shouldn't and I can't believe you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, how much longer? And then at the end, they're looking at me, but you're going to be all right. And I'm like, thank you. That's a sign that you can exhale and you can move forward, okay? Good.
Right.
Breathe. Yeah. You know, our elders will fuss at you. I fuss. I do my share of fussing. I will get in your little butt. It's okay. You're going to live. You don't live. Like our dear brother Ibrahim will tell you, the swelling does go down, you know. You're going to be okay. The swelling goes down. But, you know, whenever they do it, though, I've always felt the love in it. I have to shout out Ia Omi Aladora. Oh, my God. Me and Ia Omi Aladora, who, let me see, I think she's been gone for about 10 years. We grew up together. She has children our age. The Ogallala family, if you ever see me send around flyers and, you know, one of her sons is a superstar or whatever, but the Ogallala family, we've been together growing up since way back in the day, since back in the village we were growing, running around together.
Wow.
We share a birthday.
Ooh.
We share a birthday. When I say this woman was fire. And I'm like, she was so much fire. When she would get yelling, all the kids would scatter. She had, I think she had about 8 kids. So it was 8
Ooh.
Kids and whoever else was there. Boy, talk about running. We had so much fun together. You know, it was a safe, fun, loving environment. Brother Senghor, President General of the UNIA, when I say this man used to pick me up about 8, 9. Would pick me up and spin me around. You know how guys would pick up a girl. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So and he had 2 daughters, and I had 2 sisters. So whenever we saw him, it was a mad sprint to see who could get to him first, Because whoever got to him first, he was going to pick him up and throw him up in the air. You know what I'm saying? Those kind of memories, you can't undo that. You can't undo that. And so when it comes to valuing your elders, I mean, and he'll be like, Sister Khadija, you really backing up? Yes, bro. I remember that. That meant something to me, especially at a moment when my parents were separating and you just jumped in and you were doing all these daughter things with me only because he had daughters. It was a whole bunch of girls there. So he's just picking us up, throwing us in the air, just rotating it and everything else like that. But those moments meant so much. And last time I saw him at the UNIA convention 8 years ago, he signed it to my daughter. And I was like, aww. You know, that was it for me. I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm done. It's time to go. I can't with you right now. I can't. But that's who I was to him. That's who he was to me. And, it's that kind of stuff that makes you who you really are. You know, so if you can look back into your own life and be like, yep, that person did this and it made me do that. Even if we all have those little negative things that are there, whatever, but hopefully the positives outweigh it. And we can look back in our life and see where our elders have made those huge contributions into who we are, you know?
Right.
Seeing how this is your topic, you know, Spirit, this came through you, little one. Is there any last words you want to say about, you know, giving people that word, you know, that wisdom when it comes to trying to interact with elders?
Just be patient, be kind, be gentle. Have an open heart, an open mind, and just listen.
Amen. My last 2 cents is for all of us that are spiritualists. Let's say you've converted into Islam. Let's say whatever. Whoever you are, that's fantastic. Know who you are. Be strong in who you are. But respect the elders and what they went through, okay? So if they want to sit there and talk about Jesus for a whole hour and a half, respect that. Jesus brought them a mighty long way. And so we don't have to be of the same religion, culture, or anything like that. But if you can show them respect, they will turn around and show you respect, you know? So be patient with your elders, even if they come from a different religion, a different culture. Respect them in the middle of that. You know what I'm saying? And you don't have to be, you do not have to be choking your stuff down elders' throats, okay? Really, there's nothing new under the sun. We think we're discovering something. Elders knew about that. They just made another choice. That's fine. But so if I could leave people with a little word of advice, is your religion is for you. Great. Listen to what they have to say, because there's a whole lot of hidden messages and science behind what they're saying, what they learned. You know what I'm saying? And so don't feel the need to overcorrect elders. You know what I'm saying? Allow them to be elders. You know, because if they knew everything you knew, then they wouldn't be elders. You know, they would be old people.
Right.
But what makes them elders is their experience. And so we want to go ahead and honor that. Honor that without disturbing it. You see?
I really felt that. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I'm really glad you.
Yeah, that's respect. That's respect. Mm-hmm. That's respect for yourself and respect for the elders. Because if you respect yourself, no one's going to be able to kind of shake you in what you're doing. So it's not about that, you know. It's about allowing this moment to be this moment, you know. And really finding the value, because that's all we've been talking about. finding the value in that. And for me, I'm always a big thing, you know, boy, go shake their hand because that's an important person. You know, this is the last living Tuskegee Airman. Go shake his hand. You know, this is this person. Go shake their hand. You know, and you know, anytime my boys, I still make them take groceries out for old ladies. I think one of them got like a quarter tip last time, and he was like, and I was like, yes, say thank you and keep it pushing. A quarter is a lot of money back in those days, okay? So, you know, just anything that we can do to value them really turns around being an investment for ourselves. So I love it when Spirit does those little things. Here, we're going to say value them, but in turn, you're going to be the beneficiary of the value. So I love it. I love it. Well, my dear, thank you so much for hanging out with us. You know, I always have to call you to get on the radio, but that's okay. I'm glad that when I did, you came, you brought it, you shared. Absolutely wonderful. So I want you to get comfortable in it, okay?
Okay.
Working on it. We're going to end the show in prayer, always do, because anytime you bring prayer into anything, you're bringing God into it. And bringing God in makes it all divine experience. It helps to elevate the energy. It brings about peace, harmony. It really helps to settle the heart and mind. And it adds to the blessings. So, my dear, would you like to end the show in prayer for us?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Father, Mother God, thank you for giving us yet another opportunity to experience life. Thank you for your gentle reminders that you exist. Thank you for your protection, your love, your mercy, your guidance and strength. Thank you for the opportunities we receive every day. Thank you for all the people that you put in our lives, all of our family, elders, friends, spiritual family, all of the life lessons, all of the blessings, and even the detours. Please continue to bless us and protect us. Watch over us. Watch over our friends, our family, and loved ones. Bless us with kind words and open heart, love, strength, patience, and wisdom. Amen.
Amen.